Mallard Creek taught me something, and that is when you really want to get your point across, fill it up. And I've been doing that for the ladies, filling it up. And so I'm filling it up for y'all too. So this is filled up to the brim. If you were paying for this, you get your money's worth. You got a good outline. Somewhere between beginning and ending, we've all felt like giving up. Amen? How many here has ever felt like just giving up? How many of you just said, Lord, I'm not even sure if it's worth it anymore? Has anybody said that? Amen? So we're human. Right here in the last part of Jesus' life, we see all this rejection that he's facing. Rejection and excuses. Excuses, excuses, you'll hear them every day. The devil, he'll supply them. If from church, you'll stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. Amen. So we know between beginning and ending that we've all felt like giving up. Discouragement, disillusionment, or disappointment sets in, and we feel like saying, I quit. So what do we do when we feel like giving up? In one word, Jesus calls us to persevere. You would think Jesus would say, come here, son, now, poor pitiful you. Let me just bless you. And you find out God doesn't necessarily take you and put you to the side and say, there, son. Amen? Because he doesn't call us to a easy life. He calls us to a powerful life. And if you want to have a powerful life, then easy, take easy out. Easy and powerful are two opposites. You can't have a powerful life and an easy life. Matter of fact, if you're going to serve Jesus with all your heart, you can't serve Jesus with all your heart and have an easy life. Because Satan's out to kill, steal, and to destroy. Also, Satan wants to harm you. Whether you're serving God or not, he's going to try to harm you. And even the ones that think they've got an easy life, it's not easy. Because Satan is out there doing his thing. Plus, there's the curse on man from the fall in the garden. So God calls us to persevere. Now, to persevere means to persist in any purpose or endeavor. It means to continue striving for one's goal in spite of difficulties. How many has got a goal in your life? If you don't have goals in your life, you need to get some. Goals will keep you alive. You know that they say that some people retire, and soon after they retire, they die. And some people retire and live long, prosperous lives. And they said one of the biggest reasons is because the ones that don't have any goals, they just kind of cease to exist. Although they might be existing on the outside, they cease to exist on the inside emotionally. And so when they cease to, and mentally, and so they die. But those that, and then there was a doctor that was actually in one of the concentration camps during the Holocaust. I can't remember the doctor's name now, but he survived the concentration camp. And he knew several hundred people that survived the concentration camp and those that didn't. And he said one of the biggest things that kept the person surviving in the concentration camp was they had a goal. And that was to make it through this. Some people just gave up. And when they gave up, they would soon die. And I'm here to tell you right now, if you just give up, and I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about emotionally, I'm talking about spiritually, if you just give up, you will die. All right, not trying to scare you, I'm trying to tell you the truth. The New Testament Greek word translated perseverance is, I put it in there, hypomone, or hupomone. Hupomone means it's both passive and active. It's passive endurance and it's active persistence. And what it does is it's something within you that presses on for the goal in spite of difficulties. It presses on toward the goal in spite of difficulties. If you're a parent, you know what it's like to be sick, so sick you can hardly hold your head up, but you go to work because if you don't go to work, your child don't eat. You know what it's like when everybody in the house is sick, but you still get up and help somebody. You know, I can think about times that I've been sick and my kids were sick, especially when I was Mr. Mom. When I was Mr. Mom, I didn't have anybody else to go to. And so I'd get up and I'd go when I didn't feel like going. I'd get up and go when I felt like I had to carry a bag with me in my car to get Bethany where she was going because DC and Daniel were already off doing something. I remember that. And I remember as a husband and a wife, there's many times the husband's not quite as sick as the wife, and so the husband gets up in the middle of it. Or the wife's not quite as sick as the husband, or sometimes she's just as sick, but she gets up and she takes care of both of them, because if they don't get done, it doesn't get done. And so that's pushing toward the goal in spite of circumstances. Some of y'all today have pushed toward the goal in spite of your circumstances. You've watched God. He gets up. When you do that, you just put up the antennas. When you start going forward when you don't feel like it, and God's watching, and God will give you an extra boost when he sees you stepping up to the plate, even when you don't feel like it. So now perseverance makes a difference in life between success and failure. Perseverance is more important than talent. It's more important than ability. It's more important than aptitude. It's more important than resources. Perseverance. I know a lot of people that's got time, talent, and resources, and they're sitting on the sideline. They quit. I see people that didn't have the time, talent, or abilities, but they just refused to quit, and they kept moving forward, and God did something special for them. Amen? Remember, I've told you this. Write this down. Doing what is right, not just what feels good. Doing what is right, not just what feels good. So now, the Christian life demands perseverance. Now watch this. Again, I put all this stuff down here. So a lot of it I'm just going to read. You're going to say, well, you just read it to me today. Well, I put a lot in there because I wanted you to take this home and be able to put this somewhere where you could read this over and over and over again. The gift of faith is free. The life of faith is a fight. Jesus died for us. Calvary. It weren't free to him, but he paid the price for us. Grace is free to us, but the life of grace. And I hear a lot about grace lately. I listened this morning to several preachers talking about grace, the life of grace. You know how important grace is. Yes, grace is important, but if you're not careful, you don't realize grace is free, but the life of grace is a battle, and you still have to fight. Amen? Now, Christians who suffer persecution in China used to have an affirmation. This is true. This really happened. Christians in China, right now, there are Christians in jail just for talking about Jesus. Right now, there's Christians in Afghanistan and Christians all over the Middle East that are being tortured just for saying the name Jesus. There are Christians in Iran that are being crucified on crosses, because they are sticking up for Jesus. And I don't understand why it seems so hard for us to serve him when we don't have any kind of persecution like that. None. There's no crosses out there. There's no prisons out there for people that are talking about Jesus. So watch this. Here it is. Christians are like nails. The harder you hit us, the deeper we go. Wow. The harder you hit us, the deeper we're going to go in God. Now, one of the most important affirmations of faith is found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. I press toward the goal. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. Now, the watch hour or watchword of this hour is press on. Press on. When you don't feel like it, press on. When you feel like you can't take another step, press on. When you feel like you just can't do it anymore, press on. Because it's at that point is where miracles happen. It's at that point where strength is really found. It's at that point. Because if you give up at that point, then you never really experience the greatness of what God's got for you. But when you get to that point and keep on going, that's when God shows up in a special way. Because then you know it's no longer you. It's God. I said a million times, God, it's me and you, and it's mostly you. A million times I said, God, I just don't, honestly. My greatest training ground was when I was working at Pittman Moore Hospital or volunteering as a staff chaplain, and I'd be there from 8 at night till 8 in the morning several times during the month. And when that would take place, and even I was talking to Jeannie this morning, we would go to an 8 o'clock meeting in the morning with all the paid chaplains, and the paid chaplains would say, David, don't understand it. Said, some of those chaplains come in here and they just sleep from 8 to 8. Said, you come in here and you have a full night every time. And I said, I can't explain it either, but I can tell you this. God didn't call me to warm a bench. Amen. So now, here we go. The greatest model of perseverance was Jesus. Now, down here at the bottom, I put he was tempted. At the bottom of this list, I got he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. Now, actually, that should be at the top of the list. And the reason I'll tell you for a minute, I'm going to go ahead and take your, if you got a pencil, mark it, show it that he was tempted as we are. Take your pencil and put it up to the top. He was tempted as we are, yet without sin. That scripture says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. For we have not a high priest who is unable to understand and to sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. So now, if he's had all that, how many know that everybody in this room, everybody, without exception, everybody, we share the same basic emotional needs. How many know that? We all share them. And we all share the basic emotional needs. Now, I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm going to tell you about, he was 100% God, but he was 100% man. And as 100% man, guess who shared, he just said it, guess who shared the same basic emotional needs that we do? Jesus. Either he was 100% man and shared them, or that scripture is a falsehood. That scripture is not false, is it? That scripture is as true as the day is long. So now, watch this now. I didn't put them down. You can write down beside them. But it said, just put it down here. His family questioned his validity. Everybody, the basic emotional need is they need love and to be part of a family. His family doubted him for a while, said he was crazy. Y'all remember that? Said he's crazy. Yeah. Oh, wow. There's the basic human need of love. His disciples often doubted him. Again, we need friendship, close friendship, companionship, and we need to belong. When they're even doubting him, often doubting him, that put a hurt on his friendship. The religious leaders, by and large, regarded him as a fraud. Everybody needs respect. When they're saying he's a fraud, guess what? There goes his respect. Many followed him only for the miracles and never accepted him as Messiah. We all emotionally need to be understood. So when we're not being understood, guess what? That's a basic need being taken away. He was rejected, John 1:10. We all need to belong to something bigger than us. Isaiah said he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Every last one of us needs safety and needs support and need some type of joy and laughter in our life. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Yet, he persevered. He said he set his face like a flint. So now, next time you think about your own basic human needs that we all have to have, we all need love, we all need respect, we all need to have friendship, companionship, we all need to belong to something bigger than us, we all need respect, we all need to be understood. Jesus, in all this that he was doing, he ministered under the blanket of all this stuff being yanked out from under him. So now, next time you feel like, nobody understands me, nobody respects me, I don't feel safe, I don't feel like anybody even has any idea what I'm going through, Jesus, the great high priest, understands it better than you'll ever imagine it. Can you imagine walking down the streets of Jerusalem, healing people, and people still not buying into what you're doing? Casting out demons. The proof was in the pudding, in the fruit, and they still doubted him. Wow. So when you start feeling like, well, I don't understand why I'm having these emotional needs and nobody can understand it, Jesus can. And Jesus says, come to him. So now, and I like the way they put it too. They put it in the position of high priest. So now, why do they tell all this why he's in the position of high priest? They put high priest being touched with the feeling of infirmities that everybody else does. Why do they put that in the position right beside high priest? Because the high priest was the one that interceded to God or for God, for the people to God. for the people to God. He was the intercessor. He was the one. And so Jesus is saying, I understand your mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional needs. And I can go to the Father in the middle of the time you feel like nobody understands you, cares for you, respects you. You come to me because I know what it's like. And I can go to the Father and say, help them. I know what they're going through, God. Lift them up. Strengthen them. Let them know that somebody does care. All right. So now, here it is. I love this. So when you feel that, I only got one point. There's 3 points. I'm going to do 1 point tonight. When you feel like giving up, when you feel like throwing in the towel, when you feel like nobody understands your emotional, physical needs, watch this. The very first thing. It says, and it came to pass, and the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Already being rejected, and he's going to be rejected on the way. He's going to be misunderstood on the way. Number one, he functioned out of his will, not his emotions. Whew! That is so powerful. Powerful. He functioned out of his will, not his emotions. If you function out of your emotions, you'll be like a roller coaster. You'll be up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And people try to get up there, and you wonder why people are having a hard time keeping up with you, because you're up and down, up and down, up and down. And they're trying to catch you, and they can't catch you. And so it messes up your relationships on earth. You know, and God's blessing you, but you're doing this, and so you can't even catch it. But he functioned out of his will. His will was to do, he said, my will is to do your will, God. And so there was something inside of him that said, I'm not going to trust my emotions. Even when he got in the garden, he said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to have, if it's any way possible, Lord, if there's another way, let it be. But he said, nevertheless, I'm going to do your will, God. So now, next time you feel like giving up and your emotions have gotten the best of you, just remember, Jesus, his emotional needs were all threatened. His mental needs were all threatened. And he still set his face like a flint. He said, I'm not following my emotions. My will is to do his will. Wow. That's awesome. It said Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He set his face like a flint, Isaiah 50:7. He was immovable in his direction and purpose. Jerusalem meant arrest, even death. His disciples tried to discourage him from taking this course. The fact that he functioned out of his will enabled him to finish what he started. His last cry from the cross was, it is finished. Powerful. Next time you feel like giving up, don't let your emotions get the best of you. I try my best, and I'm a human, and it happens to me too. I try not to make emotional decisions. Emotional decisions will kill you. Emotional decisions will put you in a position of weakness. It'll put you in a position where Satan has the strong hand. Don't function through your emotions. Function through your will. The power of the human will, too often we are led by emotions instead of our decisions. Emotions enrich our lives, but we cannot make the mistake of letting them rule our lives. Look at this. Emotions enrich our lives. How many remember Data on Star Trek The Next Generation? Data's biggest thing was he wanted to be human. And that's how they ended the movie, the last one, the very last movie that they did. They ended the movie by Data giving his life for the crew. And they said that's the closest you could ever come to being human, by being able to give your life for somebody else. And so that's how they ended the whole kit and caboodle after all those movies they made. But Data wanted to be able to feel like a human. And so they finally come up with, watch this, they come up with an emotion chip. And they took the emotion chip and they put it in his head. And then he walked around telling jokes, and he walked around laughing, and then he started crying. He said, I don't understand this. I'm crying. Why am I crying? I'm happy to see I lost my cat. Now I found my cat. Now I'm crying. I was crying because I'm sad. Now I'm crying because I'm happy. And he said, I feel joy. And then in the middle of a battle, he had never backed down in the middle of a battle. He gets in the battle, and he won't go out. He says, I'm scared. And they said, we've got to turn that emotion chip off because you can't handle, you can't function with your emotions. And eventually they figured out how to make it so he could, you know, it's a movie. But it was so real as I thought about people I worked with, people in church, all over, letting their emotions shut them down in the battle of life. And so it's important. Your emotions enrich your life. His life was enriched after that. I mean, he was laughing at jokes. He was laughing when it wasn't even funny. And he got through laughing one time at something. Something that really bad. He just a laughing. And he said, what's wrong with y'all? And they said, it ain't funny. He said, it's hilarious. Ha, 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 ha. I'm surprised he didn't pull his plug. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:9, this is a good scripture. It's one that's really good to look at. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Or the heart is deceitful above all things, is exceedingly perverse and corrupt and severely mortally sick. Who can know it, perceive it, understand, be acquainted with his own heart and mind? It's very important that you understand your emotions literally can drive you crazy. Your emotions, you know, it puts you in a sea of craziness. Your emotions get running, and I hear people all the time going, well, what if this happens? Well, what if that happens? Or, oh, whoa. And I go, whoa! Has it happened yet? Well, no. Then why are you so worried about it? Chill. Your emotions can put you in a commotion. The issue is not what you feel, but rather what you will. It's not what you feel, but what you will that determines your success. I gave you a piece of paper. I want y'all to look at it. I want y'all to put this on your refrigerator somewhere. Down at the bottom it says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Amplified Version, I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. Watch this. When you feel like, and you can repeat this to yourself in the morning. When you feel like giving up, press on. There's a heaven to be gained, a reward to be received, a dream to be fulfilled, finish line to be crossed, calling to be answered, enemy to be defeated, victory to be won, church to be built, harvest to be reaped, world to be evangelized, kingdom to be established. When you feel like giving up, read that to yourself. God's got something for you. And then I'm just going to talk about feelings, and then we're going to pray. Perseverance, not feelings. Watch this. Noah didn't feel like building that ark, but in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. It took him over 100 years to build that ark. Yes, over 100 years. Now, can you imagine building that big thing, bigger than a football field, over 100 years, just you and your three boys? And people talking junk about you. Why are you building that ark? It's going to rain. What's rain? Well, God said the heavens are going to open. It's not open yet. Until that time, the Bible tells us that the water misted from the earth every morning. It misted up. So it was like a greenhouse effect. It did not rain. And then when Noah built that ark and God opened the heavens, and they found out what rain was. Amen. The water came up from the earth and came up from the sky. So look, what am I always feeling like? I don't know if I'd like to be beat up for over 100 years. Over 100 years. You're crazy. You got to be out of your mind. That's right. That's exactly right. That's tough. That's tough. That's tough. And then, Abraham. I guarantee he didn't feel like taking Isaac to Moriah. I mean, here is God's promise to him. Here's his promised a seed. And now God says, take him to Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice to me. But he rose early in the morning and set out to the place where God showed him. There he learned the meaning of Jehovah Jireh. Wow. Moses, I'm pretty sure Moses didn't feel like going to Egypt and confronting Pharaoh, because Moses was a fugitive. To go back could mean certain death. But he went in obedience to God's command and saw the power of God displayed. David, nowhere do you see where it said David felt like facing it. I can't even spell. That's facing, not feeling. You know you're really tough when you're feeling somebody in battle. Facing Goliath alone in battle, but he took his sling and his five stones and declared, I'm come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Jesus didn't feel like going to Calvary for it. Listen, he said, Lord, feelings, his feelings. When I'm saying it feel like, you got to understand, I'm talking about emotions. Jesus in the garden said, Lord, if it be any other way, let it be. That's his emotions. But he said, not my will, but yours. There's his will. There's the difference. Right? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Hebrews 12 and 2. Paul didn't feel like preaching at the cost of rejection, imprisonment, and eventually a martyr's death. But he declared at the end, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. You can't, if you feel like giving up, number one, you cannot let your emotions call the shots. Because if your emotions call the shots, you're going to wind up living a life of regret. Emotions will, the Bible tells us, the heart is deceitful. Your emotions will play a trick on you. How many's ever let your emotions get the best of you? How many's ever lost your temper? Okay, let me ask you a question. When you lost your temper, did you throw anything? Did you break anything? Look, when you lose your temper and you throw something, after you calm down, what do you normally do? You feel bad about it. You feel bad about it, don't you? But at the time, I want you to listen to this now. This is this emotional trap that we fall into. Losing your temper is an emotional trap. Satan uses it so effectively. He knows that if you lose your temper, what happens is you lose your ability to reason. And if you lose your ability to reason, then he can have you do all kinds of things. You know, I've had people tell me, and I used to say it too, I've broke things before and looked at my brother and said, look what you made me do. So I lost my reasoning. I let the devil get the best of me, let my flesh get the best of me. I broke something and blamed him for it. Or blamed somebody, a coworker, or whatever. You know what I do now when somebody loses their temper and breaks something in front of me? A grandkid, a child, one of my children. Somebody breaks something and says, look what you made me do. The first thing I say is, I cannot and I did not make you do that. I didn't do it. I didn't. I didn't make you tear that up. Your loss of control made you tear that up. Now, next time somebody does something like that and tells you, look what you made me do, here's what you tell them. I did not do that. I will not take responsibility for that. Your loss of control, your loss of temper, that's what did it. So now, in other words, what I'm saying is, now you put the monkey back on their back. Amen? So now, here's what we're going to do. I want y'all to pray. We're going to pray and come up here, or you're going to be at your seat, but we're going to talk about, I want you to pray to God. Number one, Lord, help me. Help me not to be controlled by my emotions. Your emotions is, if you got to be controlled by anything, you're ever controlled by the Word of God. Amen? Father, there's so many times we feel like giving up because we feel rejected. All of our emotional needs are not being met. And when our emotional needs are not being met, it can either drive us to despair, or it can even drive us to anger. If it drives us to despair, many times we can get depressed. If it drives us to anger, we can lose our cool. Either way, we lose. Satan wins. The kingdom loses. Help us, God, to understand that we are not to be driven by emotions. We're to be driven. Driven by your word and our will to stand on your word. I thank you, Father, for a special blessing on all of us here this night. Lord, we're all tempted to lose our cool. We're all tempted to lose our self-worth. But God, your Son, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he thought us worthy enough to die for us. He thought us worthy enough to be saved from total destruction. Help us to realize that we are valuable in God's eyes. He says he's watching a little old sparrow when it falls down. He knows that sparrow when it falls, and he's watching over it. He'll watch over us. I ask you, God, to help us to understand. And Lord, also, Lord, if we do slip up and let our emotions get the best of us, and whether we lose our self-worth through depression or lose our self-worth through throwing a temper fit, help us, Lord, to realize it's not the person's fault. They didn't make us do it. We lost control. Lord, in the name of Jesus, you're an awesome God. You're a God of victory, not of defeat. And God, you're a God that shows us through the life of Jesus what it's like to be rejected and not have your emotional needs met and still press on. In the name of Jesus, you're an awesome God, and we thank you for that. Help us to live like that model that Jesus set before us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Sunday morning, we're talking about persecution. Persecution means to be chased. Has the devil chased you lately? Sunday morning is going to be good. Persecution. Amen. God is awesome. Everybody stand up. Brother Dudley, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?